Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hello and welcome to Slamfire Radio, episode 75, for September the 26th. Man, I cannot believe it's almost through September.
I know, it's crazy.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
No, not yet. That's later. And besides, never mind.
I just suddenly feel like I needed to get it in.
I don't understand why you would need to do that.
I don't know. You guys keep ripping it off. I don't know.
Anyway, I'm one of your hosts, Owen Swelling.
And Trevor's Ron Burgundy. And I'm
Matthew's
Trevor this
morning
week.
Shot. You're the Trevor shot.
I'm the Trevor shot. That means I hit. Never mind. Carrying on.
Stop before you compliment me. Put on the brakes.
I may not have been going somewhere appropriate, is all I'm saying. I'm just going to.
Yes, okay. Trevor, why don't you tell us what you did with guns this week?
Certainly. The week started on the weekend, so, since, we recorded last week. Wow.
Good one.
Mirror Machine.
So, Owen, what did you do this week with guns?
Went to a level 2 IPSC match in the Mirror Machine.
Thank you for inviting
last...
me, by the way. I was really happy that, you know, you called me up and said, hey, Matt, you should come with us.
I got to invite you to matches now?
No.
Really I didn't think so. Okay. Anyway, for the last couple of years, when I go to the Miramichi for the last match,
you know,
year,
I've never shot a match in the Miramichi. It would have been nice to go out there and try it out.
Yeah, well, then you're really missing out because the range, Matthew, has come a long way.
Yeah.
We started off a couple of years back. Salsh gave them some of our steel when we got new steel, much like he spread it around, right?
Right.
Like Owen got some and Miramichi got some, and they're building props. They're building, like cool props, swingers. They've got this thing on train tracks now that, you know, you activate it and it's on a bungee and it pulls it and you're supposed to shoot it while it moves. But of course I game the hell out of stuff. And, they put up another, I did two really sneaky moves that really PO'd a lot of people and, put up another berm. So we had 11 stages in one day, but 11 stages, the round count wasn't crazy. It was like 150 rounds. So I usually go there the last match of the year and shoot production. It's not the last match of the year. I didn't realize that at the time, but I had a brand new production belt set up for my Glock 17, and I hadn't shot it yet in a match. So I used it as an excuse to go shoot my Glock 17 in production. And I won, which was cool. Glock 7 is the new Glock 17 Gen 3 that I got. It was really painful to change my mags.
What was it like shooting a gun and like all you had to do was pull the trigger and you didn't have to worry about clearing malfunctions and stuff?
So the mag release are really small, so it's hard to change the mag. You are a friend. Anyway. The gun ran flawlessly, but I do definitely need to put an extended mag release on that thing.
Yes.
So, it's a fun match. So the two things that I did that were very, very gamey was you had, your shooting area was just a one long fault line that was parallel to the berm and all the targets were against the berm and you only had lateral left to right movement. You started off, in area A or literally on an A painted on the ground. And then you could shoot from anywhere you wanted. So I realized that if I ran to the left, there was a spot where I could see everything from one location, including the moving target that was at rest. So that's what I did. The buzzer went. I ran to the left, shot everything, including the moving target that was still standing still, and shot the activator that moved it last. And then there was
They didn't like that?
They didn't like that, no.
Oh. Did they try to call you out on it and say, hey, that's not the way it was designed?
Not that one, but John Gould got pretty ugly about what we did over on the bed stage. You started off lying on the bed with your hands behind your head, your gun and your mags on the night table next to the bed. And there was like so many rounds let's say, to the left of the nightstand, and then so many rounds to the right of the nightstand, and there was a swinger activated by a popper, and the popper was on the left. So you basically, you got up and you sat on the bed, loaded the gun, and shot while seated on the bed. And you were supposed to hit the popper, and then the swinger would come out from behind the barrel. But I took advantage of Doug. I did. He didn't have fault lines put down on the ground. But obviously, you couldn't charge forward because of the steel. But
right.
There was no fault lines. There was no defined shooting area. It didn't say you had to stay on the bed. It said you had to start on the bed. And I keep telling these people, your start position and your stage procedure are two different things.
That is
Learn to write them correctly, or I'll do this to you every time.
Yeah.
The buzzer went. I jumped up, loaded the gun, shot like six rounds while seated, got up, walked across the front of the nightstand, reloaded my gun. From this position, I could now see the swinger, shot the swinger while I was at rest, and another couple of targets, and then the popper and activated the swinger. A couple of guys in my squad did the same thing. Somebody saw that and was like, you can't do that. You can't shoot a swinger and then activate it. I handed him the rule book and asked him to show me where it said I couldn't do it.
Yep. If you can see it, you can shoot it.
He didn't like that. I said, you of all people know IPSC is freestyle. You're an open shooter. You'll stand on your head to shoot a target if it's going to give you an advantage.
Yep.
Here's my rule book. Show me where it says I can't do it. And that was it. That was a conversation over.
We've done that. I don't want to say several times, but we've done that a couple of times. Once was even at a SummerSlam.
Put it to you this way. We've done it every chance we've had.
That's right. And we will. If we can see the target before it moves, why would we shoot it while it's moving if we can shoot it while it's standing still? That's why you hide it behind things.
But Matthew, that's not the intent of the stage. You know what? Take the intent of the stage, roll it up.
And write it properly into the stage description, and then you don't have to worry about it.
I don't believe in the intent of the stage. We don't have a do right. This is not IDP or failure to do right. This is not IDPA. This is freestyle IPSC. And you're mad because I thought of it and you didn't. And only one time I backed down, I'll never back down again.
That's right.
I came around a corner and I shot around on a wall instead of going through the port. And they said, we all shot through the port. So, well, you guys are suckers.
Yep.
Well, the intent of the stage was to shoot through the port. Show me where it says that in the stage description. This is a level 2 match. You could have actually written it in and you didn't. And the range master bullied me and he said, if you don't reshoot it, I'm going to toss the stage. Those guys are going to be pissed. And I said, fine, I'll reshoot the stage. Got a malfunction in my Glock, by the way. Blew the stage because my time sucked. I won't back down again. If you don't write it correctly, I'll do it my way. If it doesn't break a rule, you got a choice. Live with it or toss it. Either way, I don't care.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Go button unpressed.
Yeah.
Reloading room is still coming together. I put some pictures up on Facebook this week. I got the single stage area set up, and I was like, okay, I need everything just so that every possible scenario, where am I going to put my powder measure? Because I had my powder measure in a lame place last time, and it was cumbersome getting around it to get at stuff. And then I've got my bulge buster set up on there as well, right on the same bench as the Dillon 650. I've got my super swager there to knock the primer pocket crimp out. Everything seems to be like knock on wood perfect, right where I want it. I'm going to load some 357 Magnum and 38 Special Plus P loads. I'm single staging them. I'm making them as precise as possible. Stainless steel tumbled to brass. Put some pictures of that on Facebook tonight. I'm pretty excited. I'm loving my reloading room. Like you saw it, Matthew, last time you were here.
Yeah.
Well, now that little spot, that lower workbench in front of the work panel, that's all the single stage stuff is set up there.
Oddly enough, I'm your friend on Facebook, so I've seen those pictures.
All right. Well, yeah. Well, if you'd comment once in a while, I would know.
sorry, buddy.
Sorry, I'm over it.
It's funny. I just watched The Social Network the other night, and now I'm just like, I don't even want to go on Facebook anymore.
I know, right? that rumor's going around again that they're going to charge for it. I'm like, finally, I can get off of Facebook.
Yeah, now I got an excuse.
I have oodles of brass that I've acquired, and brass from years gone by. Like, I pick up all the 30-06 I find. I pick up all the 270. I pick up everything I find. And sometimes I give it to people who I know has that caliber. Like, I gave away a bunch of 30 carbine this week to a guy who came over.
Good thing you caught yourself there.
Yeah.
Carbine.
So I'm cleaning it all. I'm still using the same corn cob media that I cleaned all my brass with from last winter. This stuff is finer than the RCBS stuff. It won't die. It still polishes the brass beautifully. And I think it's like media from a welding shop or something or a metal fabrication place. It wasn't sold commercially as brass polishing media like RCBS does. But anyway, I got to find more of it because it's the best stuff I've ever seen. So I'm cleaning all of it now because I tumble outside because I don't want that dust in my basement. I noticed it was building up in my basement in the other house. So I tumble in the house in the tumbler, but then I separate the media from the brass outside.
Right.
And I will be not standing outside in February. I'm underneath the patio and stuff, and I'm sheltered, but still. So I'm getting it all done now and cleaning the stuff that I've had on hand for years. I don't even have a 30-06, but I've got like several hundred pieces of that. I do want to start reloading for my 30-30, though. I've got a lot of 30-30 brass. And
do you have dies for that?
No, so I'm going to pick those up. I have dies for 303 British. Pierre Luc wants to get into loading for his 303 British. I'm like, I got tons of brass. I know he's got tons of brass. Just a question of getting the right gunpowder. And if he buys a mold, we can make some bullets. We can cast some lead bullets. So I went to Sunday dinner and came home with two guns.
that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. That's what you do. Friend of the family. He's in his 70s. He's not using the guns anymore. He's got another one I want to try and get. It's called, before I forget, it's a 410 pistol called the Handy Gun.
Is that the one that has a little wire stock that folds up under it?
No wire stock. A wooden pistol grip.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's kind of like that little shorty 410 with the wooden stock, but
yeah,
they
put but just a pistol grip.
A pistol grip on it. Yeah, so it's registered as a handgun.
Huh.
So, but he had that at his other residence, and he has non-restricteds at this residence. So I took home a Cooey made in Cobourg, Ontario, single shot 12 gauge. Don't know what model number it is. You might know. I don't know how many model numbers there were.
Does it have any plastic on it at all?
No. He bought this brand new in 1963.
It's an 84 then.
It's an 84. Okay. Right. He lost the fore end.
Oh.
So I took it to my guy who did the, all the other work. And in particular, the work on my 30-30, and he said, I can get the hardware from Great Western Gun Parts out west, and I will build the fore end out of wood for you myself.
Well, that's cool. And yeah, when you do get the parts, make sure you get the metal parts, because the 840s came with plastic parts, and as Curtis will tell you, on his 840, he's broken that plastic. There's a little plastic kind of hinge on the back of the fore end. And in cold weather, that thing snaps like crazy. I've actually got a video of it breaking on camera as he shoots something.
Awesome. Thanks for the heads up. He's moose hunting when he gets back. I'll tell him before you order those parts, make sure they send you the metal ones, not the plastic ones.
Yep.
And the other cool gun I picked up was a Savage Model 99 lever action in chambered in 300 Savage. It's all original. It has a Weaver scope rings, and the paperwork and the instructions for the scope are still in the gun case with the gun. The paperwork for the gun is still in the gun case. It's all dated 1953.
Cool.
Told me the story the first time he took the gun hunting. The first round he ever fired out of the gun was through the floor of his wife's new Ford station wagon. through the floor and into the exhaust pipe.
Nice.
And the bullet hole was the same size as a stovepipe, so they plugged the hole in the body with a stovepipe or a stove bolt.
Right.
And so anyway, funny story. So I love this gun. The only thing I don't like about it is the he engraved with like some electronic graving machine at some point a serial number on the gun. There's already a serial number on the bloody gun. Why did you have to go put another one on there? Totally like defaced the side of the
receiver. Was it the same serial number as what's already on the gun?
No.
It's probably his social insurance number then. Old timers used to do that.
That's possible. Interesting. It's got this cool window so that rotates with a digit to tell you how many rounds are left in the internal magazine. It's got like an internal drum magazine, sort of like a 10/22.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a neat gun. Well, you've seen it before.
I had a chance to buy one of those last year or a year or two ago. I wish I had.
What was it going for? Do you know?
Nah, the lady said make me an offer.
Oh, nice.
She had a whole pile of them. I just didn't have any money at the time.
Oh, Darren, McIntyre lost his in the fire. The gun that we went and picked up from the Quebec the RCMP in Quebec that time a couple of years back. Somebody had their gun seized and it went to the RCMP, and rather than the RCMP destroy it, the owner actually said, "Well, can my friend have the gun?" And they said, "Yes." So McIntyre and I drove over there and came home with a Savage Model 99.
Cool.
Which then burned in a fire.
Right. So you can burn it.
Yes, you certainly can. So I didn't even take these guns home. I took the, I got a box of ammo, 300 Savage ammo that was corroded. It was in bad shape. I threw it in the tumbler to clean it up a little bit. Added one to my cartridge collection. I may try and shoot the other ones. I may just not. I don't know. I'm not even sure if I can find 300 Savage at any of the local stores. I don't even know what it costs either. It could be expensive for all I know. But I'm looking forward to keeping it, like, as is. And I'll use it, too. Like, I might take it deer hunting or bear hunting with that Weaver scope. It's like, to me, it's like buying a classic car that's all original and that was parked for years, and you just want to make it run and leave it the way it is, leave it original. So, and then today I went out to the range and shot my Glock 17 because I don't have an adjustable factory rear sight. Owen, do you still have that second one?
Yes, I do. Okay. I had it in my range bag all summer. I kept forgetting to give it to you.
It's funny. I did the same thing with my black badge pins. Every time I go to the range, I have them for people, and then sometimes I see them forget. Sometimes they don't show. Anyway, so what I did was I took the original unadjustable factory sight, and I reversed it so that I didn't have that white U-shaped thing on there. I just had black and red. I eyeballed it, took it, and thought, well, I'll go to the range and double-check it, and brought my sight tool. There's a picture on my Facebook of the group I shot with 147 grain berries. I was shooting Campro. I thought berries bullets were garbage. When Tommy was here and we did the Know Your Limits drill, I shot with that berries. I loaded the berries and took the berries to that class as throwaway ammo. Well, I mean, I shot well with it at the Tommy class. I tried to sight in with the Campro today, and the group was sloppy. I shot 30 rounds from 7 yards, and I don't know, call it a – well, I put a picture of my thumb there. It might be an inch. So
I guess it works all right then.
It works all right, yep. That's about all I did, which, of course, is lots. Owen, what did you do?
I didn't really do anything with guns other than I briefly carried a gun for a while trying to find moose in the woods for a buddy of mine.
Cool. So your buddy shot a moose and you were just going to get it? Or you were?
Yeah, we went out to get it, and it was late on Tuesday.
Oh.
Shot Tuesday evening, and we were trying to get it out of the woods that night. But
right.
Why anyone would shoot a moose a mile from the trucks, I don't know. Ugh, it was a long walk. Anyway, we managed to get – we got the tractor to it. We got lost once and about 9
o'clock. But you did recover the moose?
We did get – well, we didn't get it out that night. We just couldn't. The little tractor couldn't even hardly pull it. It was a big moose.
Good.
And so they got out the next morning. We left the tractor there and walked back out, and they went in the next day and got it. So
cool. 5 days this year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He got his first evening. Nice. Nice move. 14-pointer.
Nice.
This is not really gun related, but I thought I'd bring this up. I bought a bow this week. So
tell me more. Why did you talk to me before you bought it?
Because it was a good deal and it wasn't going to matter what you said. So
you know, if you get a good deal on a pair of skates and they're too small for you, it's not a good deal.
This is not too small. It fits perfectly.
What is it?
It's a Fred Bear Whitetail 2. Oh, it's an old bow. Excellent shape.
1911. You're right. It doesn't matter. I don't want to hear about it. Carry on. What else do you?
I'm going
Fred Bear.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I probably will be able to shoot an animal with it just as well as anybody else can shoot an animal with a bow.
Uh-huh.
Just saying.
Tell yourself that.
Wow. What a bow snob. Holy crap. I thought he was bad with guns.
Oh, yeah. I had no idea. Yeah. Fred Bear Whitetail 2?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a compound?
Yep.
Yeah, single cam.
Dual cam.
Fred Bear, I don't think Fred Bear ever made a dual cam bow, but I could be wrong. I will look it up. Anyway.
You're wrong.
Because it has two cams.
It has two cams.
some people, just so you smarty pants don't realize it, some people can't tell the difference between a top idler wheel and a cam, but whatever.
Okay, well, I thought that if it was oval, that meant it was a cam.
Generally, yes. Yep. The top one would be completely round, and if it's not completely round, chances are it is a cam. So did you check the timing on it?
Are they synchronized? No, I have not. Yeah. I have not.
Okay, my number one recommendation,
yeah.
No matter what you bought, it doesn't really matter. I'm busting your chops a little bit. However, obviously you're going to want to make sure it fits you and you're going to want to practice with it. If it's any kind of bow that's – if it's like over 5 years old, even if it hasn't been shot much, the material that the strings are made out of back then is not the same as what they're made out of now, and right. they dry out. And as you start to shoot this bow, you could have a failure of a string or a cable and the bow come apart. The best thing to do is get it threaded and get some fresh ropes on there. You could prevent the loss of your bow with a $80 set of strings and cables.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know a lot about bows, obviously. And it was one of these deals that was really, really good. And I was like, man, this is in my opinion, was a cheap way for me to get into it.
But if it doesn't fit you, it didn't matter. It doesn't matter if it was free.
It does fit me. I checked that before I bought it.
How do you know if it fits you?
Because I know what my draw length is.
What's your draw length?
30 inches.
I would have actually thought it was more than that, but yeah.
He might be, but I measured and did the math, and it's 30 inches. Yeah.
Your wingspan divided by 2.5?
Yep.
Cool.
See, I'm not a total idiot.
Not knowing doesn't make you an idiot. Or not knowing.
Yeah. So. No, I did. I mean, I did the research, and I know bow people here. I work with at least one person that bow hunts, and you know, I ask questions and things like that. It didn't have.
It's like taking rifle advice from a hunter.
Well, some hunters know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And if a hunter has been hunting for 20.
You didn't check with me, that's all. I mean,
yeah, we can tell. Well, don't worry, it's coming through.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. But don't worry, I won't ask you anything about this. We won't even talk about it again, if that makes you feel better.
No, it won't, because I don't want you to waste money or hurt yourself.
Yeah, the next thing I need to do is add a D-ring, because it didn't have a D-ring on it.
It's called a D-loop.
Or D-loop, whatever.
That's
what I meant.
Yeah. Yeah, and good on you. There should always be, and actually you want a modified D-loop. I'll explain that more later some other time.
Okay. Yep, that's good, because I have the little piece of string somebody gave me today, and I was going to put it on at some point. So, yeah, we could go on about bows, but I don't think the listeners probably want to hear that. So, Matthew, what about you?
They probably had enough of me.
Well,
tell him to shut up.
I bought a bow, too. Didn't I tell you, Trevor?
No, you didn't.
I do have to say, my girls are infatuated with bows. I don't know if that's why, but Amy took them to the orchard the other day, and the oldest one came back with a curved piece of apple wood that she'd found, dry as a bone, but she was determined she was going to put a string on it, and she was going to make a bow out of it.
Nice. And that's how it starts, man.
I was out splitting wood last night, and come walking up the driveway is the middle one, and she's got one like strapped, like the string across her chest and the thing across her back. You know, walking along with it strapped across like that.
If you let them do that, you might as well buy them 1911s while you're at it. You know, get them compounds and the AR-15s.
This was just a stick with a string on it. I mean, she was happy.
What Trevor's saying is don't let them start down the road of a traditional bow.
Oh, I
just
see.
Don't let them go there. Move them straight into compounds. They don't need to learn old-fashioned stuff.
Her comment was it was a little bow because she was going to shoot little chipmunks.
Perfect. I love it.
So, yeah. Little squirrels.
Anyway,
little Tobies.
Little Tobies. All right. Well, I shot a little bit more Tannerite because why wouldn't you, really?
Do you have any left?
Oh, yeah. No, I think I've only shot 2 pounds total so far. So. What? That's one big one and a couple of little ones. It's no big deal.
You're gonna put us out of business.
No, I'm not. Maybe. Look, I got to tell you, frying pans go really high in the air.
I haven't even taken any more out of the container.
Really? Oh, that's too bad. You should. You kind of have a... Yeah, anyway. Jewel and I went out. We were out playing around and she wanted to shoot the Tannerite. I mean, who am I to say no? So Savage Axis out in... out in the woods, well, not out in the woods, out in a gravel pit, and there was an old frying pan somebody had used for target practice at some point, and so we set it was only a quarter pound, and I balanced it just right so you could still see the Tannerite, but the frying pan was resting right on top of it, and then she hit it, and the frying pan must have gone 40 feet in the air. It was pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Lots of fun with Tannerite. I anticipate more fun in the future. And Jewel loves explosions. She watches Shooter, the movie with Mark Wahlberg there, just for the big explosions at the end. She just loves explosions. So that did it for her for a little while. She really liked the boom that it created. So
great. Now I got to watch Shooter. And that's not a problem.
No, it's not a bad movie. Anyway.
Oh, it's great. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, you've seen it. You just got to watch it again is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There we go. Cool. So because of that, I did a little bit of reloading because I shot a couple of 2-2-3 rounds, so I needed to reload them. So that took me all of about 15 minutes to reload two-to-three rounds. So technically, I reloaded this week, too.
Yes, you did.
Then we went to the range and brought Filthy's upper with us. He loaned her his CMMG dedicated 22 upper. And we shot that at the range, and she really liked it. It wasn't too heavy. She was up on, she was shooting offhand the whole time. We were there for probably an hour. And I have my, I don't know, a 10-inch gong, I guess, and I had that out at 50 yards. And she was just sitting there and just kept hitting it. Just ping, ping, ping. So I said, okay, well, now start shooting a little bit faster. Just start slow. She has 25-round magazines because it's non-restricted of rimfire. And she started off slow and then just build up faster and faster and faster. And she got up to probably half a second between shots, which, you know, isn't super fast, but for her it was really, really good. She was really enjoying the rifle. She really likes the EOTech sight. It's not an EOTech, it's a Bushnell Hollow sight, but it's the same thing that Filthy had there. We had to go to Walmart to find batteries for it. Who would make a sight that takes N batteries? I've never even heard of N batteries. It's A, double A, triple A. Actually, there isn't even an A. It goes B, C, D, and then N? Really? N?
Were they expensive?
$12 for two of them, I think. So it's not that bad. I bought two sets because Filthy said the site does eat batteries like candy. So I bought four. So we'll use up one set practicing. We'll have a fresh set for the course. So that'll be good. And then I cleaned guns the rest of the week. Every night I've been taking a gun, putting a movie on Netflix, and completely stripping it, wiping it down, taking all the grease out, and lightly, I've been winterizing my guns, I guess, lightly oiling them all with REM oil. So they'll work well in the cold, because the cold is coming. So I've been cleaning guns and shooting guns and blowing stuff up, so I've been having a pretty good week so far.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. And now on to our main topic, which this week is kind of a little
Trevor's
bit everything.
Fault, basically, is what
this,
it is.
This is kind of like, what do we call this, the goulash of shows?
It's Facebook's goulash. Fault.
It's yeah.
It's 6 months worth of topics rolled into like 10 minutes. Let's
well,
go.
Well, maybe we'll go 12 minutes.
The fans deserve at least 13.
They deserve the at fans? Least.
The Wait, you're right. Sorry. The listeners.
Oh, okay. I was going to say. I'm like, I'm on the wrong show here.
It's like calling an archer an athlete. Give me a break. You're a shooter at best. Athletes aren't built like that, D-Meyer. That was for you, Ed.
Clearly.
Okay, so yeah, if people don't know, Trevor put asked on Facebook on Monday, I think, and said, what do you want to hear on the show for topics? Go. This week, and there was a whole bunch of stuff, and it was all really good, and he really liked it.
Well, I wouldn't know if it was all really good.
Well, it all made it into the show notes. So
that's it.
It was a copy.
I have very high standards. Come on.
So, yeah, we're just going to go down through and hit all of these topics real quick, more or less, and yeah.
See how it goes.
So the first topic is... ISIS threats and concealed carry.
Yes.
This is a yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is a yes or no question.
I think that's a no-brainer is what that one is.
We can't get into the ISIS thing because I will smash the go button and it will ruin the show. So,
ISIS, so we're going to move on quickly before Trevor loses his mind.
You got it.
And turns into the Hulk.
Don't even get me started on Subway. Oh, my God.
Look, I don't even know if that's true. So
it is true.
Yeah. Okay,
it is true, but it's only right now in England and Ireland, and that's why.
Oh,
those
well, that's not Subway. That
oh, really?
Doesn't count.
See, here I was boycotting Subway already for that because I'd heard that a number of months ago.
And you should, because
the thing is, every time I go to Subway, I ask for extra bacon. They always give it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're not. Yeah, we don't want Trevor to blow up. So we're not even going to tell you what we're talking about. If you want to know, Google it.
This isn't even on the list.
It isn't even Subway. Eat fresh. Blow up Trevor's head.
That actually ties into the next one, which is the most painful way to physically harm Trevor Furlock.
Trevor, have you heard about the ISIS thing and the Subway with the ham? And they're like,
stop it! Stop it! Stop it!
It's working!
Oh, man.
All right, so...
Biggest problem in the universe? Subway, getting rid of bacon. That's the biggest problem in the universe. Which, what? By the way, is a great show. Go check it out.
Okay.
Well, all right. Most painful way to hurt me physically, Brian's all upset because I called him Kowalski's monkey. So whatever, dude. Like, dance and get over it. Next.
That's how to... What? Oh, so you're doing that so that he will physically harm you because he will?
No. No. He wants to know the most painful way to harm me because he's all butthurt because I called
him. Oh, so that's from Bolivar. So now that makes way more sense. Yeah. See, I was just going to say put a wood stock on an AR.
Oh, that just makes me violently ill.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, I'll grab the next one. Training schools in Canada or Ontario and what a good cost might be. Well, cost is directly related to the instructor. And a good course, a training school. Faislon Green Tactical is doing one that Bolivar went to. I'll be honest, I don't have a lot of experience with who's doing training in Canada. But as far as Ontario goes, yeah, Faislon Green Tactical.
Yeah, that would be a good one. And another thing you might consider if you're just looking for something sort of rudimentary to start you off is just go take a black badge course. Even if you're not into IPSC, just go take a black badge course.
No.
No?
No.
Oh.
Black badge is not a course to teach you how to shoot a gun. It's a course to teach you how to shoot the sport of IPSC. You're already supposed to shoot your gun.
Sure, but I can tell you that with what I considered adequate pistol experience before I took my black badge course, it was night and day afterwards.
That's right. Fair enough. You got in there knowing how to load and unload your gun and get it out of the holster without sweeping your hand, and you came out a better shooter because you did learn some stuff. You're right. Fair enough.
Thank you.
And it's a lot of trigger time, and frankly, most people don't spend that much time on their gun at any given time on the range, and it forces a person to put 200 rounds through their gun in a morning or whatever the
time. Or 400 even by the time the day is over sometimes. And
well, that's right.
It shows guys the shortcomings of their pistol platform where they've gotten out and they found a way to shoot it comfortably, and that's the only way they ever shoot it. But we make them shoot it in all kinds of different ways and move and reload and change, and we had that instructor that McIntyre and I taught in Miramichi this year, and he's like, I'm an instructor for the prison system. We don't do anything like this. And
I like how you've gone from, no, that's a terrible idea, to, wow, that's actually a pretty good idea.
Yep, you're right. Total 180 on this one. What's next?
Why hosting an awesome training course on a family holiday weekend makes Trevor Furlott a bad, bad person?
Well, first off, I would just like to say it's not a family holiday for everybody. I'm going to be there.
10-4.
Yeah, I'm going
to
be there.
Most everybody that's going to the course is going to be there. So
that's right.
Most people obviously don't. Those,
right. Most
those,
everybody going to the course is going to be there.
That's right.
And none of those people have a problem with it, or else they wouldn't be there. Yeah. So does that make Trevor
Thanksgiving,
a bad person?
Thanksgiving's on Monday, not Saturday.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And for those people that have to travel, it gives them Monday, and in some cases, Monday and Friday off.
That's
right. That's why. So,
yeah.
Shut
so, yeah. All right, next one. Oh.
Pardon me?
Owen?
Oh, next you want one. Me to do this one? The host's go-to hunting rifles. It is fall. Many hunting seasons are upon us.
Mossberg 500. Wait, that's a shotgun.
30-30.
What kind of 30-30?
Well, Winchester 94.
Oh, okay.
But it's about the only
one
rifle
got.
I have.
Yeah.
Well, I do have the 308, but yeah, that's my go-to.
That's like saying, yeah, I've got a 308 too, but can you imagine me dragging that through the woods?
I can't imagine you dragging that to the range.
Well, that's what the car is for, right? right now it's my Thompson Center Venture Predator, or I guess my 30-30, but I won't take my 30-30 into the woods because I've had it restored and it's a family kind of heirloom thing and I don't want to get it dinged up. But
that's like detailing a four wheeler and then going, I'm not going to drive it anymore.
No. If it was it's actually a 72. It's case hardened receiver. It's really nice. It's a little fancier than your average one. If I could get my hands on a pre-64, which in reality is actually the value of it is more than mine, and I would take that pre-64 in the woods. Pre-64 I want for the better quality. but I wouldn't, there's no attachment. There's no, you know.
That's right. Yeah. You could just go buy one and not worry about messing it up. The one that you've got, you're right. It's a bit of an heirloom and you don't want to mess that up.
No. So, but if I, you know, well, when I finally do buy a, you know, 30 caliber bolt action hunting rifle, it's probably just going to be a 308, maybe a 30-06. And it's probably just going to be a Savage Axis because it, it has to hit an animal, a moose or a deer or a bear.
That's all it's got to be able to do. And the Axis will do that. And, yeah.
So I spent, I got taken on the Thompson Center Venture Predator, spent $889 before tax on it. And it can't keep up with a $350 Savage Axis. So I won't get taken again.
Live and learn.
Yep.
Well, and that being said, the Savage Axis wasn't even available whenever you got the Venture Predator. You
no,
arguably
right.
got one of the best rifles that was available at the time. And that's not saying that the Axis is now the best rifle. That's just saying that for the value, it's probably the best rifle for how much you pay for it.
Yeah, I pay. They don't cost that now. At the time, Faulkner's tried to tell me it was the only one in Canada, and it's possible that it was because I looked for these rifles everywhere and even spoke to the Thompson Center distributor in I think it was in Manitoba, and there was like, no man, there's none of these in Canada, and the rifle had already been on the market in the States for a year by this time.
Wow.
So how could there not be any around when it's already been on the market for a year? So anyway, I found one in McAdam of all places.
Yeah, and you drove through a storm to get it.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
Non-restricted black rifles. What rifle is your dream gun? Which one would be the best trunk gun? Which one should I buy next year after my mortgage is paid off?
Whoa, one question at a time.
Yeah. So non-restricted black rifles, ? Yes is the answer to that
one. Yes, you should definitely
What rifle is your dream gun, and which one would be the best trunk gun?
Well, both that could be the same gun, because if they're non-restricted, they can just stay in the trunk regardless.
Yeah. The three I listed are all great trunk guns. The XCR has a folding stock. It's got a heavy barrel. You can shoot the snot out of it before it heats up. And with the folding stock, it can fit into your trunk no problem. And when I say trunk, I'm thinking about the back of my Sonic.
Right.
The Tavor, obviously, short compact bullpup. If you can't afford a Tavor, a T97. All great black rifles, all great trunk guns.
I'd add the AR-180B to that. I know you can't get them anymore new, but you can still get them used. And it's not a bad rifle. It's very similar in ergonomics to the AR, which is why a lot of people really want them.
My concerns with that rifle are availability of aftermarket or spare factory parts.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Owen, what's your what would you pick?
I already said Tavor.
Oh, we didn't hear you. You got to speak up there.
Yeah, you guys.
Yeah, I would. Hear me, so I would drop my T97 in a heartbeat for a Tavor if I had the cash. There's just so many other little projects I want to do first.
Yeah, just sell me that T97.
Well, he didn't specify a price, so that's
Yeah,
right.
That's why.
Well, then there's an H&K black rifle, $3,500.
The only thing with that is it does take a proprietary mag. With the Tavor, will take AR mag.
Fail. Fail.
Yeah, the XCR, Tavor, and T97s and AR-180Bs, I might add, all take AR mags.
Yep. And I'm glad nobody brought up the Kel-Tec SU crap.
I believe it's SU-16, not SU crap.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I thought 16 and crap were synonyms.
Right.
Next one, Matthew.
Pistol calibers in rifles.
Pistol caliber rifles.
Yeah. Sub 2000? I don't know. No.
Crap. JR carbine. Because it has the same ergonomics as an AR. It takes some AR furniture, and it has an ambidextrous charging handle, or a charging handle that you can switch around. You can put it on the right, or you can put it on the left, which where I feel it belongs, because your hand stays on the fire controls of the firearm. And it takes Glock mags, so just right carbine in 9 or 40 or 45, I believe they make it in all three.
Yeah, you could also look at the Chris if you wanted a 45. They make them a 9.2, I think, don't they?
Nope, yes, just 45.
Just 45, yeah.
Yeah.
So the Chris is a cool, it's cool is sort of subjective, I guess. I don't think they're all that cool, but they're neat, and they're a completely different design. Something to consider anyway. You can get non-restricted versions of them, so if you want a 45, that's another option to look at.
Yep, and both of those would also not make good trunk guns, never mind. In New Brunswick, they would not make good trunk guns because of our hunting regulations and what you can carry in one.
But we're one of the few provinces with those stupid caliber restrictions. So other provinces, those would make good trunk guns as well.
Yeah. This question comes from Filthy, so.
Oh, I see. Well, now I understand.
Oh, the trunk gun question. Right. All right. Who's got the next one?
Owen.
Let's talk sporting clays and pheasant hunting.
No.
Or not.
Let him finish.
Walnut and blued steel for the win. Or not. Or conservation fundraising for hunting dogs.
Oh, hunting orgs.
What?
Like organizations.
Oh, orgs. Yeah. Oh, for and hunting then, organizations.
Okay. And then I wrote the word.
No.
No. No. Okay, so that's on to me then. Or we could talk about open carry in Utah.
No, we've heard enough.
Yeah.
Trevor said
just
yes.
Do it. Oh, speaking of open carrying in Utah, MAG 80 will be in Utah next year.
That's interesting.
You must be a MAG 40 graduate to attend, and it's 5 days.
Wow.
It's two, and where MAG 40 is 65% class time, this is the opposite. 65% or even 80%, because I already covered the legal side of things in MAG 40. So they don't do a whole lot of legal stuff, and they just do a safety briefing, and then it's all about shooting and fighting.
Nice. That'd be fun. Yeah. Are you going?
I checked. It's in September, so there's just no way I can pull it off.
That sucks.
I would have to apply for a leave of absence without pay.
Right.
So 5 days without pay would be devastating, plus the flight plus the class. I'm not worried about the flight, not worried about the class, but if I applied for a leave of absence for 5 days, go training in Utah, I might find myself single again.
Right. Yeah. It's understandable.
But who knows? Hey, Christina! Can I go to Utah for 5 days next September?
Oh, it's hilarious. All right. No. Okay. Owen, okay, Owen, you're the next one here because it's stay on the topic of geese hunting. I'd say goose hunting, but okay. The episode that you came out with wasn't enough info. So, yeah, talk about more goose hunting. And go.
Right now?
Yep.
Well, I hadn't been goose hunting since the last time, so we don't have a whole lot to talk about.
He's got a backup.
He says, talk about small game. Yeah, small game as it opens this Saturday in Ontario. And he really did write Ontario. That's funny. It opens up in 6 days here.
I am kind of at a loss of what to use for a shotgun.
Yeah, you would be. I think I have one that'll work. Oh, so
funny how we don't have that problem.
Well, I sold my 870 and I shouldn't have, because my 870 now was.
What's wrong with using your Versamax?
I don't know, 26 inches.
What's wrong with that? At least it's not 28 or 30.
That's true.
If you can use it in a bus, you can use it in the woods.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess.
And for those of you who don't know, Trevor used it in a bus because it was one of the stages in an IPSC match.
Let's clarify.
Yeah. He wasn't just on public transit. Like, hey, guys, have you seen my new shotgun?
He ran up to the bus and yelling, shotgun.
Yeah.
I got a shotgun.
Well, you want to sit in the front? No, I literally got a shotgun. And everybody else got off.
Cylinder bore for small game, guys.
Yes. Yeah, right. Here's how I do it. In early hunting season, when the leaves are all still in the trees, cylinder bore, and as the leaves start to fall, I go to modified, and as the leaves are all gone, I go to full. And the reason for that is you don't see your game until it's up close with lots of trees. You see it farther away when the leaves are off, and you see it very far away when there's no leaves at all.
Roger.
Or just modified for everything.
You could also do that.
If you need a happy medium.
Go modified. But if you got the choice...
I find I can't hit the broadside of a barn with cylinder. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's my shooting. But
well, it's got to be psychological because cylinder bore is the easiest thing to hit stuff with.
I don't know. I must.
Maybe for me, I
shoot too slow. I don't get on target fast enough.
Cylinder bore is inside 20 yards.
Yeah.
And I think I'm getting up and on at 20, and then I'm pulling
then
the trigger.
Pulling the trigger. Yeah, then it's too late. Yeah, go modified for you.
Especially where I'm used to shooting my goose gun, which is full, so.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for an excuse to take my Mossberg into the woods, because I shot the Versamax all summer, and I love my 590A1.
You don't need an excuse. You own it. It's non-restricted. Take it into the woods.
I want it to be effective.
Well, it will be. Cylinder bore will be fine.
All right.
Just shoot them up close.
All right.
Like that rabbit. Remember that rabbit I shot? That was awesome.
Took the ears clean off and then turned it into a jackalope.
It really was a jackalope for a little while.
There's a video on Matt's channel. And Matt, check it out.
Terrible. Anyway.
Okay. Matthew, what's the next one?
How about we discuss Charles's man crush on Bolivar, or how much Brian wishes he was a clone helmet, or how hard it is to cross into Canada from the south, but Styx and Toby have abdicated their responsibility on the southern border.
Okay, so start with Charles, his man crush on Bolivar. It's not so much a crush, like he's just insanely jealous of Bolivar's ability to shoot, ability to podcast, ability to make these things that he doesn't have called friends. it's just jealousy. It's just envy. That's what it is. That's why he's constantly attacking him. He's just simply jealous of Bolivar and Canadians as a whole. He's a bitter bald man. Who used to cook and now drives a truck, and I'd be bitter too if that was my life.
There's no way you went too far on that, is there?
I don't. It's Chaz. You say hi, Chaz, and goes your mom. So you know, Chaz.
All right. So the next part, or how much Brian wishes he was a clone helmet?
No, that's me. I'm the new wannabe clone. I don't even get that.
Why do you want to wear a helmet to be a clone?
Well, it's
because of how cool it makes you, right?
No, I hate myself. Filthy is basically blackmailing me, and long live the Empire, you imperialistic pig.
Right. Rebel scum, and so forth.
That's what I meant to call you.
Yeah,
sorry.
Because you're the imperialistic pig.
That's right. Yeah. See, I'm not quite fully converted
yet. Put your blaster back on stun and beam back up to the Enterprise.
Them there's fighting words, son. Okay, what about not being able to cross the border? Well, Styx and Toby really actually don't like us.
Yeah.
And so they don't come up here.
Yeah. If they liked us, they clearly would have come to visit by now.
Hey, it wasn't hard to go open carry in Utah. How hard can it be to come not carry a gun in Canada?
I like Trevor so much, I went and visited him before I was even his friend.
Something
true story.
Like that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So,
you were technically on assignment for the podcast.
No, that's not where I'm going to go with this. It was funnier my way.
Okay. Creepy.
Owen. Yeah, no, I was stalking you. Owen, talk about self-sufficiency.
Who's stalking who? Oh. I'm the guy that walked up to you and go, hey, you're the guy from that YouTube channel.
That was funny. Yeah.
And then I was like, why didn't you answer my PM on Facebook?
And why didn't you reply? I said that it was a cool channel and you ignored me. I'm like, I didn't even know it was possible to send messages on YouTube.
Self-sufficiency, Owen.
Well, I did take a first aid course the last 2 days. So that's part of self-sufficiency. Learned all kinds of cool stuff about patching people up and fixing people up. They even talked about gunshot wounds in a school.
Wow. Crazy.
Yeah. So, so I feel much more,
self-sufficient.
Prepared. More prepared to deal with emergency first responder type.
Did you ask about a wilderness course?
I did not ask him, but he's going to be around for another month doing courses for other people. So I'll probably run into the guy. I'll ask him.
That'd
I asked
cool.
one of the nurses there, but she wasn't really familiar with anything.
Right.
I could probably get us hooked up for a wilderness first aid through Mark.
That'd be cool.
Mark was an EMT for years, and he's a first responder at the smelter where he works, and he knows who all the instructors are in our area. I approached him recently about getting a price. As a friendly reminder, Mark, getting a price from one of the instructors to give all the ROs at the Rescuers Gun Club a first aid course, so that no matter, there's always going to be at least one person on the range who's certified at a match.
That's a good idea, actually.
Yeah. Well, part of the emergency response plan I'm developing for the range. I'll ask them to inquire about wilderness first aid, because that's the one that I really want. I'm going 10th and 11th to renew my, or no, 9th and 10th of October to renew my first aid CPR, but want to step it up.
I was impressed with how comprehensive this course was. I've been to some good ones,
and I've been to bad ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to some pretty bad ones, too. It was basically like a half hour. It was like, if it's bleeding, put something on it and call 911. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Like, I was at one where the guy just read to us and made jokes, and this woman walked out, and she was like, wow, that was so awesome, and it was really fun. It was really entertaining. And what did you learn? I said, that's the kind of first aid class. We could fill up an auditorium with people. He could stand at the front. We could all get a card. She goes, that's a great idea. Go get your tubes tied, please.
This was 2 full days.
As it should be. And were you down on the ground doing the 30 and 2 in the whole 9 yards?
Oh, yeah. Well, he had dummy, like the little dummy torsos with the head up on the tables that everybody – we did 2 minutes of CPR, and it was amazing. I mean, I was doing it with my students because it's a requirement for the students in the trades department as part of their part of their graduation. You know, they have to do it to graduate. And so I said, well, I'm going to do it with them because I've never really taken – it's been a long time. Back when I was doing lifeguarding and that kind of stuff, we did some basic stuff back then.
You used to be a lifeguard?
I never actually worked as a lifeguard.
Cue the David Hasselhoff slow-mo running down the beach.
No, I had the training. I never actually did it, but I had the training and stuff. I used to swim a lot. Anyway, where was I? Okay, so it was amazing. You got all these young guys in a class, and some of them couldn't do it for 2 minutes.
Oh, wow.
They got to like a minute, and they were like – and these aren't like out of like big fat people. These are – nothing against big fat people, but
well, yeah, they're big and they're fat.
These were like young, you know, guys. You look at and you go, wow, they look like they're in great shape. You know, hunters, and you know they're 22 years old, and they should
the
be in the
Xbox
best shape.
Generation, Owen.
Oh, they couldn't hack it. It was kind of funny.
Insisted that everybody do it for 2 minutes. He said, "You need to know how your body is going to feel after doing this for 2 minutes, and what kind of shape you're going to be in." Because you may have to do something next, depending on the scene.
Yeah, and we didn't do a whole lot of real practical stuff. We didn't. The room we had was kind of small, but he did have the AEDs, like the defibrillators, spread all over the place. And I'm licensed.
For a range.
Yeah, I'm licensed in that everywhere in North America except Quebec,
New Brunswick. Oh,
except Quebec.
Don't bring the Quebecers back.
They have special. They have special. Laws there, provincial laws. Yeah,
of course they do.
Mess everything up.
The rest of the world can use AEDs, but nope, not the potato eaters. Let's not bring them back with the most simplest thing in the world to ever use.
All right, Trevor, go button off.
Can use it,
Trevor.
So we had.
Do I need to tell you about how Subway banned ham again?
We had a random times during the day today because we learned about them yesterday. Random times today, we all had partners, and he would just. Say he had a special word that he would say, and then that was go. We had 60 seconds from the moment he said it to get it on the device and get a shock out.
Oh, interesting.
Basically, one person had to immediately start CPR, and the other person had to scramble to find the AED and get it out of the package and set up and the stickers on and the whole bit, get it started clear, shock, hit the button, boom, and the other person had to start CPR again.
Well, that's funny because ISIS was doing a similar thing, but it was an IED they were had to scramble.
Yeah. Yeah, they were scrambling to get the IED out and it went boom.
And then boom.
All right. That killed the sufficiency.
So anyway, it is important because, you can get guns and get food, but when you're hurt, all that goes out the window if you can't fix yourself or somebody else and patch them back up.
Yep.
So.
Good point.
Yep. All right. Who's Michelle Rampell?
She is a senator or MP or somebody in the parliament. Oh, she's in Canada. And she responded to – because we had this ISIS threat. They sent out an audio message saying that jihad on Canadians. Let's kill Canadians. Yep. And so she took – and they said, we're going to kill you in your bedrooms. You'll fear us or something like that. And so she took a selfie of her secure in her bedroom and hashtagged it secure bedroom selfie just to kind of thumb her nose at them. Yep. So I guess I wanted to know what our take was on that.
And, I say good for you. The only thing that would have been better is if you would have been holding your AR across your chest when
you
did it.
That is funny because that sort of started taking off. Cyclone actually started. He came back with, he said, guys, it sounds like it's time to get your modern sporting arms out and start doing this and tagging yourself. Because that's the ultimate security is if you're in your bedroom with your modern sporting rifle, you don't have to fear any ISIS coming through that window.
Get ready to mark the time down. I'm going to take a selfie with my AR, and it's going to be hashtag QISIS.
So. Thank you for the warning, by the way. That was hilarious. Yeah.
All right. Next.
All right.
Next we have, how about Speedy D to talk about a woman's view on owning guns and hunting?
Sure. She stops snubbing us every time I ask her to come on. What do you mean 10 minutes is not enough notice? Man, it's not like you have a life and a job and friends and stuff. We've tried and then we got away from it, but we do know her. She does know us, and at least of each other. I've had several Facebook conversations with her, and we'll try, and thanks for the reminder. We'll get back to that.
Cool. Along the ISIS vein is the next one here. It says, tips and tricks for keeping your firearms at maximum readiness for self-defense while still staying on the right side of Canadian firearms laws.
Well, you're allowed to clean your gun.
Always be cleaning your gun.
Next.
Always be dry firing your gun.
Now,
it's not unsafe storage if you're in control of it. Do you get my gist?
It's completely true. I often podcast with a gun.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, it says Trevor as he's clicking away. There are many very 100% legal ways to store your guns that make it very difficult for unauthorized access, but make it very easy for authorized access. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out how to do that. So,
this part of the show brought to you by Fort Knox Gun Safes.
QTommy.com. You can't burn this. Gun dudes, you can send that check to slamfireradio at gmail.com. No, just kidding. Probably.
But anyway, if you can't always be cleaning your gun, yes, Fort Knox Gun Safe with the manual push button combination lock as opposed to a key is the way to go. You simply remember the pattern. I have one in my bedroom closet, and for the first 3 months, my wife was getting annoyed because every time I'd open the closet, I'd go open the safe, open the closet, open the safe, open the closet, open the safe. So I could just develop a habit, muscle memory, keep the combination fresh in my head. Now it's not every day, but it's, once or twice a week when I open the closet, I open the safe. It's not the best location because it's actually on the opposite side of the room from where I sleep, but it's a good location in that it's out of sight and it's actually bolted in the closet, so you can't just walk away with it.
Yep.
In the man cave, gun safe open. I'm cleaning a gun.
You're in the same room as your gun safe, it can be open. That's right. You're in care and control of those firearms. You leave the room, of course, you got to close up that safe because somebody else could go in and get unauthorized access. But if you're there, you can do whatever you like with your guns. They're your guns.
And remember, if your container meets the definition of a safe, which, according to an Ontario court case, is a metal container with a lock, then you're allowed to store your restricted without a padlock, and you're allowed to store ammunition in there.
Yeah, without a trigger lock is what you meant, not a padlock.
Without a trigger lock, yeah. This is not legal advice. Look it up for yourself.
Yep.
But I have no problem telling you that I store my restricteds without trigger locks and ammunition next to them in my safe. So, and I do it because it's legal. But I'm not telling you what to do.
The other thing you can do is you can, if you have a closet in your house that has a locking door, and if it's been specifically, if you beef it up specifically to store firearms in it, that is then considered a locked room designed to store firearms. And same thing, you can just put your restricteds in there, you can put your ammunition in there, you can put your non-restricteds obviously in there as well, and they don't need trigger locks either. Just lock the door when you leave, and that entire sort of closet is now a quote-unquote gun safe.
I've been in one of those, a lawyer's house. He had this small room and a big, heavy, solid core door with a good quality doorknob and a deadbolt. And in that room were all of his firearms, and there was no need to put a lock on them because the room had no windows. It had no outside walls and had that big, heavy, solid door. So it met the definitions as a room that was difficult to break into for the purpose of storing guns.
Yep. Yeah, there's all kinds of ways. The gun storage laws in Canada are pretty over the top, but fortunately they are set up in such a way that with just a little bit of time and planning, you can set up a way to store your guns where you can still have quick and easy access where somebody who isn't authorized doesn't.
Yeah.
So Yeah, look into it and make sure you check the laws for yourself. Like Trevor said, we don't offer any legal advice here.
This show is for entertainment purposes only.
That's right. All right, Owen, next topic.
Are we even going to bother? Milsurps.
No.
Yes. No. Let's talk about M14s. No?
Okay, not only is there no point in us talking about M14s because the
Owen
few
owns
that,
one.
No, he doesn't. He owns a Norinco M305 okay. clone of an M14. So the only mil, like, you want to talk about the one Milsurp we have that's a Chinese knockoff? Really, though? I'd rather talk about a
I got a Lee Enfield.
You have a Bubba Lee Enfield with a plastic stock. At least the Lee Enfield I want is a Long Branch, Canadian-made, original, like, all wood.
Right.
My goodness. Oh, my God.
At least mine has wood on it.
Milsurps. I hate you so much right now. You're a jerk.
Well, the next one, you know, is so much better, so let's yeah. move on to it.
Yeah, how about we talk about why Trevor upgraded to 1911s?
They're better for competition. 2011s, I mean. 2011s are better for competition.
They're 2011s. They're not 1911s. Ask anybody. Right. Well, actually, don't ask anybody. Just ask Trevor. That's all you need to ask.
Look, the frame is in two pieces. The bottom part of it's plastic, for crying out loud. It's double stack. It's chambered in 40 and 9 mil. What part of they're not 1911s that's, don't you understand?
That's right. All the modern conveniences and upgrades, just as many jams.
I will have you know that my STI Eagle
is
40 caliber has never malfunctioned once.
Right.
Not a single malfunction of any kind. Unless it's dirty, it won't lock open on a...
always going to be that but, or that if.
All guns have a quirk when they get dirty. That's what this one
that's
does.
That's right. My Glock has this funny quirk when it gets dirty.
Yeah,
it keeps working.
Listen to you two. I own two Glocks. You each own one.
Right.
Shut I it. Own two.
You're okay. like comparing, I, you're like throwing Glock in my face like I don't love them or don't own two of them and haven't owned three other ones in the past.
It's funnier our way.
Okay, you keep telling yourself that. What tragic event in Trevor's childhood, what was the tragic event in Trevor's childhood that caused him to fear wood so much?
Okay, well, look, this is a long story, and it starts off with Trevor in a treehouse.
And a wooden spoon.
Yeah. And then there was that dugout canoe. Then you got the splinter in that spot you're not supposed to talk about. It was just, look, the list is...
It's a lot of stitches.
It was a long journey for Trevor, and it ended in the culmination of him hating wood and just loving plastic, basically.
The thing is, I just took home two guns with wood on them, as we discussed earlier in what we did this week in guns, and I'm going to leave that Savage original classic. I do want an original mint condition Long Branch someday. I like wood on the right guns. However,
it has to be the right gun. Like, it can't be an AR.
Yep, that's right. It has to be the right gun with the right amount of wood, the right style of firearm. The fact of the matter is that I'm a gun snob, and I only like what I like, and everything else can just bugger off. I admit it. I know that now about myself and my taste. There's a certain style of firearm, a certain genre of firearm that I'm attracted to and appeals to me. The rest, ugh.
I'm the same way. There's all kinds of types of firearms that I'm not particularly attracted to at all. And yes, it's still a gun. Yes, I still find it interesting and maybe the way it works or something, but I don't want one. And I don't want to really talk about it. Maybe if I'm there at the Machine Gun Museum, which, by the way, I went to, and Trevor, you missed out on that, but that's okay. Saw all kinds of cool stuff there. I didn't want any of it, but it was neat to look at. And I understand what you're saying.
Yep. So why do I hate wood? Because you suck, that's why. What's next? Invite a few gunsmiths to discuss the current health of the industry and how to get into the field. And I've kind of, yeah, it's a good idea, but I would also like to get Justice on. Justice is Mark Price's son who wants to become a gunsmith, and I think it would be cool to talk to him about why he wants to become a gunsmith.
I just saw a post on Facebook, and I forget
Yeah, it's in our listener feedback.
Oh, it's in our listener feedback. Okay, perfect. We'll carry on with that then when at the appropriate time.
Yeah, but as far as getting a gunsmith on, the only one that I really know is Joe Chatwood, and he's, you know, the owner of the network that we're on. We've had him on once before. Maybe we could get him on again.
Yeah, we could do something like that.
All right.
That'd be cool.
Next.
Best poutine recipes.
Bacon!
Bacon.
No, I disagree, actually. I do enjoy a good bacon, I gotta tell you. Bacon is delicious. But the best poutine ever is beef gravy with darkly fried hamburger, like really, really well fried hamburger with melted or shredded mozzarella or cheddar cheese on top.
Have you ever had that at the log cabin here in town?
I have not.
They call it a beef mess, but it's essentially what you described.
Right.
You can get it with chicken gravy or beef gravy.
It's got to be beef.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, Jewel and I will do that at home sometimes. Whenever it's, what do you want? Let's have poutine. We'll just make our own, and that's how we do it. Great beef gravy and beef, and cheesy goodness, delicious poutine.
Across the river, in the other country, Quebec, there's a restaurant that has a little side menu there, just poutines.
Yeah, I remember. I was there. Remember?
Right.
Remember and, we took
Tommy? Remember because right. Yeah. So I like the smoked meat poutine from there. A lot, but last time I was there, I had they called it the Meli Melo, and basically it's all the meats found on a pizza with onions and green peppers into your poutine.
Interesting. See, I wouldn't put pizza toppings with potatoes and expect it to taste good, but you know, strange things have happened.
Because it was meat, right?
Yeah.
So, but, cool. I like a chicken poutine with mozzarella, not curds. My new favorite poutine is definitely smoked meat.
You don't like curds in on your chicken poutine?
No, I actually like the mozzarella on the chicken poutine.
Interesting.
Straight up poutine, all about the curds.
Yes, absolutely. But chicken poutine, you like the matzah, huh?
Yeah. Because there's this restaurant in town we always used to go to when we were underage drinking after we left the party or whatever. And there was a section of the menu called Poutine Palace. And you and I couldn't finish a large.
Wow.
That's how much it was. It was like fries and a pile of bacon. And then a pile of chicken. And it would come out and it would look like a snow covered mountain because you couldn't see anything except melted mozzarella on top of the whole thing. I think like they took the fries out of the fryer, threw the chicken on, covered it in shredded mozzarella. And I think they actually then microwaved it because they didn't melt the cheese with the gravy. It was the fries, the chicken, the gravy. Then they covered it in mozzarella, and I think they nuked it to melt the mozzarella.
Interesting.
And, yeah, when you're 17, underage, loaded, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, that's a little piece of heaven right there.
All right. Bring us the next one.
Is it the one about talk about how great 1911s are?
You know what? The only thing that would make a 1911 great is if Glock made one.
Oh, that's another topic later on. You know what? 1911s are great. They are iconic. They have been part of American gun culture since forever. They've got a rich military history. They have a history of being blinged and pimped out. They're the official gun of the state of Utah. No other gun, I think, is as recognizable globally. Whenever you see a cartoon. When you see, no other handgun then, maybe.
Okay.
Go ahead and finish, Trevor.
Well, they just have a tremendous reputation built on American bravado. That's what's great about them.
1911s are great, like Alexander the Great was great. In his day, his army was unbelievable and unstoppable, and it was, great tactical developments that he made in conquering what was most of what was the known world at the time, but today,
put him up against SEAL Team 6 now and see how he makes
exactly.
Out.
So well, that's kind of how I view it. In his day, it was a piece of wonderful technology that was state of the art and cutting edge.
The only problem with the original 1911 was the sights. That thing rattled and ran. When the 1911 started to have problems. Was when they started to quote unquote improve it. And some things did improve it. When you tighten the tolerances to get accuracy, forget about making it a combat gun.
You lose reliability.
That's right. Yeah. You're not going to have both. You can't have a Ferrari that
goes off
costs the same as a Jetta and is as reliable as a Jetta. It's either a Ferrari or it's a Jetta. It can't be both. Well, it could be a minivan, but.
What? Let's carry on. I think our segues have gone crazy.
What if Glock made a 1911? Would it still be a Glock? And if unicorns made love to a goat, you'd have
dragons.
Yeah, so forget it. Yeah. Glock, Glock, there's so many cool guns that they want to make at Glock based on Glocks that they're not allowed to make because Gaston's still alive. You think that while Gaston's alive or even after Gaston's been dead for 400 years, Glock will ever put their name on a 1911?
No, stop it.
Go sell your guns and go play checkers or something. That's a ridiculous. You're not allowed to listen to our show anymore. Next.
How to deal with a wife that hates guns. Getting a new... Oh, sorry. Oh, no, this is his comment. He continues on. I thought it was Trevor's comment. He says, getting a new wife is a viable option. Well, that's an option then. Look, you've already given yourself the answer.
Well, I actually do have a legit answer for this gentleman because my wife was never an auntie. As long as we've been married, there have been guns in the house. But the revolver never came out. The 30-30 never came out. The shotgun and the 22 came out once a year for hunting season. And that was the extent of her exposure to firearms. And she wasn't part of gun culture. When you want to get into it at the level that Owen and Matthew and I are into, what you have to do is do what I do. And that's start slowly. Don't start overspending right away. You have to do that slowly over time. Don't come home with three or four new guns at a time. Sneak the guns in and get them past her if you can. And as you're trying to become part of gun culture, you have to portray it in a very positive light. You have to talk about our gun laws and how strict they are and how they are so restrictive and, basically lie your ass off and say that they're good and they actually keep people safe and make her feel that you believe in them and that you agree with them. And maybe you do, and if you do, that's fine. I'm not going to judge you. But, be critical of criminals and their gun ownership and how it makes law-abiding citizens look good. Get on the soapbox once in a while and preach about the positive aspects of our gun control and gun laws and safety. And don't be an ass around the house with your gun. Don't, if there are people over, don't show off. If somebody's uncomfortable, read their cues and respect them. And respect your wife's cues. And if she's uncomfortable, don't be dry firing in front of her while she's watching TV. It takes a while. It really does. Now, I mean, Bolivar, we went from Bolivar coming into my house and handing my wife a gun saying, here, hold this for me. And her holding it between her thumb and finger and looking at him and saying, this is my unhappy face, Brian. To, she shot a 9mm with Matthew one day. Now I could walk around the house with my IPSA gear on or a plate carrier and an AR. And it's like, oh. It's part of the furniture now. She doesn't notice anymore. And I got her there by going slowly and being respectful.
Trevor's nailed it right there. You got to go slow. Take it easy and build up to it.
Yeah,
you can
absolutely.
Do it.
I mean,
and
my
if
wife
you can't, get a new wife.
My wife was the same. She was never anti-gun. She grew up in a household with guns and was okay with it. But handguns she wasn't used to. And, black rifles she wasn't used to. But it's come a long way. Now she loves nothing better than to go to the range with me, and she even has her own gun now. She went and got her restricted and bought her own Glock. So,
yeah, see, Christina will never get there. But the two things that Christina doesn't like, and there are one thing that she doesn't like and has told me this, and the one thing that she does like that's a carryover from archery, she liked archery more because archery was more socially acceptable. And she never had to answer questions from her colleagues or her friends or her family. Like right now, her mother is dating a guy from Chile who's anti, and he can just kiss my butt, right? And that's fine. And if he asks me, he'll be told that. But, it puts her in an uncomfortable situation because now somebody in the family is anti. And so archery was, it was a competitive thing. It wasn't even about the bow hunting, and it was more socially acceptable. So that part of it, she's still not really crazy about. My new hobby is not socially acceptable, and we're teachers and all that crap. But the part that she does like is the house is often full of people, and we love to have the house full of people, and we love to have people over for used to be archery tournaments, and now it's for charity events and training courses and big competitions, and we get to fill the house with people and play host. And so she's liking that part. That's back, and we get to make new friends and meet really nice people. But
well, except Bolivar.
Hey, he's fine. Oh, I got a lot of trouble last week, Matthew, when I talked about you sleeping in a bed that wasn't made.
Right.
Or hadn't been changed.
Right.
She was actually going to write the show and and rip me out. Okay. So the beds, for the record. Oh, here she comes. The beds do get torn down after every guest.
Right.
Pardon me? Talking about It's not a stage. He said they don't get torn down. They're not a stage. So the beds get. What do the beds get? The beds get.
We don't need to talk. The beds get stripped remade. And washed. That's great.
And it's not that Fred and Matt make their bed. It's that they take the beds down and ball the sheets up and, you know, help her get the bed ready to be clean. So, yeah, I lied to you when I said that you slept in Tommy's essence.
That's too bad. I haven't showered since then, but I guess I'll have to start it again.
I guess so. All right. What do we got next?
That's a good one. So tacos.
Bacon.
Yep, there we go. From Dusting, bacon, bacon, or bacon. And that's our new favorite listener.
Clearly.
Last one.
Owen?
I wouldn't mind a gunsmithing episode. So this goes back to what we talked about before with having Justice on. It would be intellectual, but I'm sure you guys can handle that. I think what he means is it would be intellectual, but I'm sure you guys can mess that up.
Yes, there you go. We can do that.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll have to contact Joseph of the Chetwood again.
Cool. Mm-hmm. All right, then.
Yeah, on to some listener feedback.
Perfect.
Well, first, thank everybody for all the wonderful topics and all that stuff. That's what I would do if I was lead host, but I'm not.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, no.
No, just you do what you're told.
So this first message, I guess this isn't even an email. This is from Facebook. Is from Alan, who says, "Hi guys, sorry about not paying attention enough in class." Yeah, there's the show.
It's because we're all teachers. See what he did there? We're like yelling at him because he's not paying attention in class.
I don't yell. Teachers. Just like do get out.
Yeah, I'm not even a teacher, so shh. I just walk over quietly and put my hand on your desk and say, shh, settle down.
And then over your face. One hand on the desk, the other one over the breathing apparatus.
That's right. Just shh, shh, shh. It's okay. Shh, go to sleep.
Turn that one kid though too off.
All right, carry on. Sorry.
He continues, I would really like some help picking a multi-purpose trap gun. Is there such a thing? I've listened to all the shows and know you've talked about this. My budget is $1,000 to $1,500, so I'm guessing a quality over-under is not in the cards. Trevor has mentioned a love for his new Remington Versamax, but also said it needed to be modified. Would something like that be what I'm looking for? If you can please inform me of the best episodes to listen to. Cheers, Alan.
Well, the best one to listen to is always next week. It's always next week. It's never.
That's right.
Next week, yeah. It'll be better. We
Free
promise.
Beer tomorrow.
Yeah.
The Versamax did not need to be modified. I chose to modify it to make it better for IPSC. As far as trap goes, I would recommend the Browning Satori. I think it's the Satori, the single shot one. They've got an over under and a single shot. What Thomas had at the charity shoot.
I didn't even see it.
It's essentially a trap gun, but it's a single shot trap gun, not an over under.
Yep.
You don't need an over under and trap most of
unless you're shooting doubles, you don't. And doubles is a whole other game unto itself. So, you know, a lot of places just shoot singles. So you only need a single shot.
Yep. So you can get a nice fitted Browning single shot trap gun that will then double as a hunting gun.
Yep. Well, except that for hunting, you should always have two.
Well, there you go. So, but if you do want a Versamax, you know, you can get a Versamax, a camouflaged Versamax with a 28-inch barrel for like $800.
Yeah, that's way less than $1,000 to $1,500, and it would be good for all sorts of different things. Look, the best shotgun for trap is the one that you can hit clays with.
Yeah, but you got to start somewhere.
Right.
So, you know.
Well, if you have a shotgun now, use what you've got, and if you don't have a shotgun now and you're looking for a multi-purpose for hunting, trap, whatever, you know, anything that's been suggested so far. Would be good. You know, almost any shotgun, but make sure that it has adjustable chokes you can swap out the chokes as choke tubes. And, you know, other than that, do you prefer semi or do you prefer pump? And, you know, if you're going to be shooting a lot of trap, I'd say semi. A little bit easier on the shoulder. Maybe a little bit easier to shoot, but, you know, that's completely up to you.
All right.
Okay. Matt, you want to take the next one?
Do I ever? It's from Mark. My son just got home from his first day in grade 10. In personal development and career class, the teacher asked if any of the teachers knew what they wanted their career to be.
Any of the students.
Oh, what did I say?
teachers.
Well, maybe the student asked the teacher.
Now, I read it as it's written, people.
Shh, sorry, I messed up. Leave me alone. Stop yelling at me. Of course, my son said gunsmith, and the teacher said that's inappropriate for class. My son stood up for himself and said, it's a job, and it's a profession, and he wants to do it. Go, Justice, go.
Absolutely. I'm a school teacher, and, you know, like, I can't believe the cojones on this teacher to call this kid's choice inappropriate. It's not your position to judge. It's inappropriate if he had stood up and said, I want to play for the Montreal Canadiens. Like, that's
inappropriate.
Inappropriate.
Yeah.
Or, yes. You know, something actually inappropriate. Like, yeah. I want to be a drug dealer or something. That's not inappropriate. This teacher is, well.
This teacher is clearly an auntie and really wants to push her agenda on her students.
Mm-hmm. So, good for you, Justice. Proud of you, buddy.
I concur. We should have you on the show and talk about how you want to be a gunsmith.
Yep.
We should have him on with Joe Chetwood. Joe could tell him all about how to become a gunsmith.
Well, Joe kind of got in through being a gunsmith in the military, so that's probably not going to work.
I like my idea better.
Yeah, okay. Kim, hello, Slamfire crew. I listened to the last episode and would like to offer some of our solutions to Trevor's comments on the multi-gun action and the time required to run through the stages. I'm an IPSC shooter and RO, so I'm familiar with the rulebook. Some of the following suggestions will make an IPSC guy a little antsy. These are some of the things we do to save time. A loud and funny RO is a big help on motivating people to get on the stage. Making sure who is up on deck also helps, and that's where we fell down. That helps cut down on the who, me question. A posted or reminder of the stage round count is also a way of cutting down on, well, we do that. We have an actual diagram of the stage, and all the stage descriptions are the same ones used right up to the world level. Post the shooter rotation where it can be seen. Now that's a good one. A lot of guys take a target and they write the shooting order on the target, and then they put the target, then like stick it up where everybody can see it when they get to the stage, and they just check off whoever's.
That's a good idea. I like that idea.
I've seen that. I think some Ontario guys did that at SummerSlam. Like they posted, wrote on the back of a target, drug it around with them, and then stuck it there. So at a glance, you always knew.
You just know. Okay, I'm three
I'm
down.
After Owen. Yeah. Owen's up. Yeah. On a stage using shotgun, we have a load table. Every shooter on the squad will load the tube on the shotgun before the stage starts. When the firearm goes down range, then the chamber is loaded at the proper drop box and then topped up to make the firearm ready. A magazine fed shotgun is handled the same way as rifles. In a legit IPSC match, I don't think you'd ever be allowed to start loading your shotgun, even if you were putting them in tubes.
Nope, you wouldn't.
Magazine-fed rifles are loaded on the stage and at the drop box. By drop box, he's what we would call a retention device, or like a barrel, let's say. If someone showed up with a tube-fed rifle, then they would be turned away.
What are you doing here with that?
Shotgun. Handguns are loaded last on the load and make ready command at the position they will be used. When possible, we try to have an assistant RO follow the shooter and clear the guns when they are no longer in use. We usually try to have one guy to clear the rifle, one guy to clear the shotgun, one guy is cleared by the shooter. So somebody else gave me this suggestion as well. The RO who ran the shooter will clear the shooter's gun that he has in his hand. Two other guys will have taken the long guns off of the stage or the other two firearms off of the stage and cleared them off to the side. The issue with that is who gets DQ'd if there's an AD.
That's right.
At minimum, we have a helper carry cleared guns back to the staging area. We do that. We were really good at that.
Yep.
The RO would be clearing guns, and you turn around, there was a guy there ready to take your long guns. We didn't miss a beat on that. Was to get the shooter ready, and having the shooting order posted is a good idea.
Yep.
The shooter who is up follows the RO scoring reset crew downrange, placing their firearms as the previous shooter's guns are cleared. This is like you said, Matthew, where our guys weren't comfortable knowing they could go get their long guns and come to the line and wait, right?
Right.
Where some of us were doing it and some of us weren't. We didn't advertise it. The shooter waits at the most downrange position, and as the reset crew works their way back, the shooter and RO will load and make ready the firearms so that as the range is cleared, the shooter has worked their way back to the start position with little wasted time. So that's what we tried to do. We also use some empty gun starts, as then the guns can just be left at the appropriate positions. We also fell victim to trying to run lots of stages in the match. We have settled on a maximum number of shooters, number of shooter times, the number of stages. That way we can run through in a decent time. We are anticipating 25 shooters this match and are shooting 4 stages on 3 ranges. We should start at 9-ish and be done by 4-ish. We've tried more stages, but have had shooters agree to shorten the match when it starts to drag on. We do not have the luxury of leaving the stages up, as we have to build the stages on Friday evening and tear them down when we were done on Saturday. So we need to allow time and energy to do this. Instead of 3 short stages, we will run 1 longer stage. The time is burned on the staging the firearms. A few seconds added shooting a long stage is much less than clearing guns and restaging guns. So that makes sense. One long stage as opposed to, you know, you're only staging and unloading once on one stage.
Yeah.
Where instead of doing it 3 times.
Yeah.
Our usual focus is on the long guns, as we all get to play with handguns the most. Let's face it, an AR and shotgun are just too much fun not to play with. Kim Adams, Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. So there's some good stuff to take away there, Kim.
Okay. And shout-outs.
I got a couple here. To Terry for the labels, stickers, thank you very much. To Fred for the stickers and the clip. And by clip, I don't mean...
magazine.
I don't it's mean a magazine.
Called a magazine.
I don't mean a magazine. I don't mean a clip that holds ammo. The Kukri, he had it set up for a lefty, so he sent me the clip so that I can put it in my pocket in the proper orientation on the right side, so when I grab it with my right hand and pull it out, the button glued to the top of the blade catches the pocket and opens the blade at the same time.
Cool.
It's awesome. And to Jeff from the Calgary Shooting Center, Mr. Reese, he's going to hook me up with a single point sling mount for my Mossberg 590.
Cool.
Be sure to join both of our National Firearms Associations, the NFA and the CSSA. And also check us out on the Gun Owners of Canada forum. We post all links to the show and different things, and we'd love to have some conversation on our forum over there.
We had a little bit on the last episode.
Oh, was there?
Brian Bolivar actually got in on it. I don't understand why. It's not like he's like a social media, you know.
Speaking of which, speaking of Brian Bolivar, I got a shout out to him.
Shout outs are over, Trevor.
Yeah, shut up.
Okay, sorry, Brian. No shout out for you. Owen said so.
He tried, but Owen shut you down.
Yeah, pretty much. And like us on Facebook, 1,034 and counting.
Really? 1,034? So, yeah. On August 22nd, which was a month ago, we had 1,033.
Yeah.
And now we have 1,034. So we got 1 in the last month. Listeners, you're not doing your part.
Spam
your friends.
When did you stop making fake Facebook accounts just to like the show for my ego? Really, though.
Yeah, come on.
Gosh.
Also, be sure to check out all the other great shows on the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network, as well as the Crusader Podcast Network.
You got it right that time.
I did. I was very careful to do it.
Yes.
Right.
Right. Good.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
well.
This is where we end the show.
No, Trevor's supposed to say something.
Oh. Take somebody shooting.
Good one. And
I'm Ron Burgundy.
That's 2 weeks in a row. No, you're not. You got away with it last week because I had to do the Brendan Heaney thing.
Wait, he did it last week? That means it's my turn. I'm Ron Burgundy. Stay classy, San Diego.
San Diego. It means walruses.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.